Holy motherfucking shit. Okay, here we are. This is the last episode of the season. This season is a really interesting one for me because I started recording these episodes in, I think, October of 2025 and didn't release them until April of 2026. I've been on one of the most difficult journeys physically of and mentally and emotionally, because all of those things are tied together, and spiritually for that matter, of my entire life. And I feel like this whole journey culminated into this conversation with Kelly. Kelly has been through loss that is unparalleled. We kind of talk about this. I can't remember if we talked about it off mic or in the episode. I just had this conversation yesterday, but we had so much conversation after, before and after this episode, that I can't remember what exactly was on here. But I said to her, it's really difficult. It's really difficult for me to have certain conversations with certain people. When you go through real, legit, traumatic events, like bam, 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 like one after another, after another, after another, it can be really hard to connect to people who haven't really been through that. And they try to connect to you and maybe say things that seem ignorant. They're just trying to find a way to like connect to you and like help you feel seen. But sometimes in doing that, it has the opposite effect. And talking to Kelly, her going through this whole journey of her life, we both ended up in tears. And it was just, it was really moving to just hear her talk about everything that she's been through. And in doing that, I felt so much less alone in my journey and everything I've been through in the last few years, because my best friend, my cousin, who you all met last season, Brianna, she and I talk about all the time just like how what we've been through is not the normal amount of life shit that people go through. She's even 4 years younger than me, and I'm 32 years old and dealing with things that most people don't have to deal with until they're in their like 50s. And sometimes even later than that. I was talking to someone the other day and they're like, oh yeah, like I'm 40 and like I'm really feeling it. And like I wake up every day and I'm in pain. And I'm like, that's been me for the last like 4 years, 5, 6 years since COVID. So it's like, it's just, it's crazy. So having someone like Kelly, who I didn't know super well, but knew I wanted to know better, come in, and she messaged me after and she said, I just feel like we knew each other in another life. And I was like, I completely agree, because the conversation felt so deeply connected and I felt so seen and I think she felt so seen, and it felt just like so safe, and there was so much understanding between the two of us. And that's a really beautiful thing when you can go through super terrible, awful things and have someone who truly, 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 truly like understands on a deep emotional, physical, mental level. It just felt right, this episode. I actually release these in the order that I record them, and this felt completely right to close out this season with, because it kind of felt like this whole journey I've been on led me to be able to have this conversation with her. So thank you all so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this season, and we'll see you for season 3.
Talking to normal people.
I probably talk a little bit too much.
You can probably tell from my podcast that I do as well.
I love that though. I feel like we need to be, like, people in general need to share more.
I think so too. Yeah. And I think I've been realizing that through this podcast also. And just like, I remember there's this podcast I listened to with Fred Armisen. He was on.
Oh, yeah. I love him.
I know. I like love him too.
Yeah.
And I'm not like religious really, but he specifically said the phrase, God made people for each other. And yeah, I was just like,
that's my God. Really,
like,
sweet.
Yeah. And I was like, I love thinking about that because I'm like, I think that we forget that, like, connection and community is no, like, remember, do you remember when they had the dance along? They had the sing along, but then they also had the dance along version.
Yeah.
I, like, have such a vivid memory of, like, waiting for my dad to take me to my friend's house, and I'm, like, watching this, like, learning the choreography, like, as, like, a 14-year-old in our living room.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
It was
the best. Troy Bolton.
I mean, he was, yes.
That with that was, hair?
The flip.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So totally. It was very, like, telling of the times, I think. Oh, my God.
That's so funny.
But happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Can I ask how old you are?
43.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
You have such youthful, like, energy about you.
I
not that 43 isn't youthful, but I'm just like, I thought you were, like, maybe 38.
Oh, yeah, no. We did that. We've been there, did that.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay, this is interesting. So then we're, like, 10 years apart from each other.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like the last 10 years have been like for you? Like, what do you feel like you've learned?
Oh, my goodness. The last 10 years of my life have been unbelievably chaotic and informative and... Oh boy. So if you want the quick and dirty rundown.
Let's do it.
Okay.
And then we're gonna get deep into it.
We're gonna get into it.
The quick and dirty rundown.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's crazy. So
I actually like love that. I'm gonna steal that.
Yes.
The quick and dirty rundown.
Uh-huh. It's strapping.
Oh God, I feel that.
So 2018, July of 2018. My oldest sister passed away from cancer.
Oh, my God.
She had cancer for 10 years. And wow. So her name was Michelle.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And then 4 days after that, my ex-husband and I bought our first house. So okay. We closed on our house 4 days after that. 2 weeks after my sister died... My dad was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, my God.
And then he passed away 6 months later.
Oh, my God.
and so he passed away in January of 2019.
Jesus Christ.
And so that was a crazy time for sure.
I'm just like,
okay,
so like first. Death and then like get your first house and then like second like I'm just like oh my God, like I can't imagine the range of emotions you were feeling in like 6 months.
Yeah. So then
were you, can I ask if you and your sister were close?
So yes. Okay. So I have a twin sister.
Oh.
And then I have two older half brothers and two older half sisters.
Okay, cool.
So we were close, but more in the way, especially with my older sisters, of it was definitely a sister relationship, but more like a much older sister relationship, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously that's what it was, but
I also have a much older sister.
Yeah. Half-sister. Yeah. Okay. So so like people that get it. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of this like, yeah, they're your sister. They're not necessarily like your closest sibling. Like you didn't necessarily like grow up eating breakfast at the dining room table with them, mm-hmm. but you know, they still were a formative part of your life and all of that. So, so she battled for 10 years.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, she was incredible. God. You know, it just the things that she went through, it was unbelievable. So yeah,
I can't even imagine.
She was a warrior for sure.
Yeah.
And then after so my dad was sick for 6 months. He passed away in January of 2019, and then COVID. COVID. That little thing happens.
I literally was like just looking at posts, and I was like, oh, this was six years ago. Like memories coming up on Facebook. I'm like,
yeah.
Like it literally made me like physically ill looking at it. I was like,
I can't like comprehend it.
I know.
I can't. And I think I think a lot of us are kind of starting to just like work through that, the trauma of that time.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I think that we're all just kind of starting to process like what the fuck happened. Like every now and again someone will say something to me and I'm like, Oh yeah, that happened.
That happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, the world shut down for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So COVID, during that time, I was president at Schenectady Light Opera.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God. And so that was, so I actually, one of the sort of formative moments of that experience, which was equal parts wonderful and stressful and crazy.
Oh my God, I'm just like, this is blowing my mind.
No. Yeah. So actually one of the last things that I did right before COVID was actually had to, there was a performance of a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum that was opening in mid-March 2020.
Oh my God.
And we got to their Thursday invite preview.
Yeah.
And things were getting bad. And
yeah, I remember. Like I remember that Thursday.
Yeah,
I remember.
And so the board got together because we were like, wow, like, you know, at that point it was, there were so many more questions than there were answers.
Yep.
And like, oh my God, what happens if we have a mass spreader event and all of that? So we had an emergency board meeting, and we basically decided that we would go forward with the Thursday night preview.
Yeah,
but that we were going to go and tell them backstage before previews started that this was their first, last, and only opportunity to perform.
Yeah.
And it took days off my life.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I actually
it took days off. My
it
life.
Sure did. It really did. It
for
it
so
broke
many
my
reasons.
Heart. Because I know what it takes to you know to be in a community theater show and to you know to spend 8 weeks or so on, you know, four nights a week for 8 weeks rehearsing and doing all of that, and they get to literally opening night or the night before opening night and it's just like we can't do it. And
I can't even imagine.
I broke hearts that night and I actually saw one of the cast members last night.
Oh.
And it was really lovely. I hadn't seen her in a while. Got to see her perform last night, which was wonderful.
Oh, and what?
So Bunbury Players was doing a Sondheim review.
Oh my God.
And so Shannon
Love
was
it.
Singing in it.
Oh yay. Yes. Oh my God. Okay.
And Shannon's mom Sharon.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, no way.
So, yeah.
Oh my God.
So
that's amazing.
So Rebecca was in it and she had been in the cast of Forum.
Yeah.
And so I got to see her and watch her perform last night. It was beautiful. So
maybe like a full circle moment.
It really was. Yeah. Yes. And so I gave her a big hug afterward and you know, we were just sort of reliving that moment. And we even said that last night that like, wow, that was 6 years ago.
Oh my God.
And so it was, I remember it when the night that we closed down the production, I sat in the front row for, you know, for the show because it was an invite only. It was, you know, fairly, there were probably 30 people in the audience, maybe if I remember correctly. And as much as I regret that we had to do that, I don't regret that we did do it because then that following Monday was when the governor came in and said,
shut everything down.
Everything shut down.
Yeah. I remember that because I had a show on Sunday.
Yeah.
That weekend. And it was like my brother and my dad have the same birthday.
Oh.
It's so wild,
awesome.
Actually. I know. And my brother lives in Michigan, was supposed to come out, it was his 30th.
Oh.
So it was like we were gonna have this and I was gonna have a show and it was gonna be like this whole thing.
Oh.
And then it was like the three, just like us and like the owner and a guy who was running sound, and we like live streamed it because we were like, none of us like knew what to do.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it was like that next day was I think the 16th. Like the Sunday was the 15th and then the 16th was
right.
Monday.
Yeah.
And it was like, everything's done. We
Crazy.
Were like, oh my God. And I remember too, because I was working downtown Saratoga at that point and my friend worked for Cafe Lena right across the street.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so she was coming over and she was like, well, like, we have like all of these people coming to UPH for Josh Ritter. And she's like, it's going to be hundreds of people. And we're going to have the super spreader event. And it was like, it was kind of everybody just, it was like UPH, Kafelina, Josh Ritter all being like, what the fuck what do we do? Yeah. And they canceled it too. It was like, we have to, like, we, no one could feel good about like doing that.
Right. Right.
Like the possibility of bad outweighed what the good could be.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it was a lot of people making those very tough decisions.
Yeah. And there were a lot of armchair quarterbacks.
Yeah, for sure.
That were questioning. And I felt like that weekend in particular, right before the state shut down, that it was kind of just putting out fires of responses and things. And I understand, because people were scared. They didn't know what was happening. It was, you know, a situation, obviously, it was nothing that we had ever experienced before. So, like, how do you know that you've made the right decision? You can only wait for time to tell, you know? And so I'm glad that we did that. And it honestly was probably one of the most sincere and heartfelt
performances
I've ever seen, because they knew. We literally went backstage before they were taking the curtain, and we basically said, like, this is going to be your only opportunity.
It was
heartbreaking. And you know, I remember standing in this giant circle of people backstage at SLOC in the green room, which is not that big. And having to say that, and to not only to see the hurt and the alarm in their eyes, but also to see, you know, to a certain degree, how much they appreciated us being very transparent and telling them, like, you know, this is going to be it. And I didn't want them to have to go through the preview not knowing, and then all of a sudden we get to the end of it and maybe they didn't have a great preview and now they regret it, or you know what I mean? Like, I'm a huge fan of giving people all of the information and allowing them to make the decision on how they feel, and you know, so
yeah.
So it was I don't look back on that time fondly, obviously. but I do look back on it realizing that, you know, like, there really is something special in people and how they deal with adversity. And, you know, it was a lovely moment. Insofar, it was also traumatic.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It was, you know, you get for to see. Sure. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about it since then. And I had dear friends in that production and, you know, in the cast and the crew and in the pit, you know, you name it. And they've all been, you know, just very wistful about, like, you know, the show that never went up. So that was honestly probably one of the easiest things that happened during that time.
My god, you know? Is there a world in which you do like a 10-year anniversary and you bring everyone back and everyone does it again?
Probably not.
Yeah, I know.
Probably not. I feel like it's kind of like lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
You know?
I know.
And it just, that's the way it had to be, you know? And like, I feel like in that instance, it's nice to just sort of leave it, leave the pin in it.
Yep.
Let it be what it was and let people move on from it, you know, because that's part of the healing process, obviously, is to be able to put a pin in something and move away from it. You don't forget it. The pin's still there.
Yes.
It still hurt a little bit. You know, you're always brought back to it. But at the same time, it's like you get to decide how you deal with that, how you move forward from it, you know, what that actually means to you in the rear view mirror.
Yes.
So
what a beautiful way to say that.
So that was March of 2020, and so then we went through COVID, obviously. My mom got really, really sick from COVID. She was in the hospital for a couple of days.
Oh my god.
And then in 2022, I decided to go back to school for my master's. Because everything was shut down, and I'm like, I always said, you know, rainy day plan, I want to go back and get a master's in business and you know, stuff like that. So my undergrad degree is in voice.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. So I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in music, and but I, you know, working in legal and finance for all of my professional career, it was, you know, I wanted a
so cool. Yeah.
So I went back to school at 40 years old or whatever. My I was God. 39.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
Yeah, I got a master's degree from Quinnipiac.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's a master's of science in organizational leadership.
Oh my God.
So it's basically it's the MBA kind of track.
Oh.
With less of a focus on the numbers of it all, the accounting of it all.
Okay.
And
okay.
much more of a focus on leading people.
Love that.
Leading organizational change, obviously.
That feels so right for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
yes. Yes.
And, you know, sort of innovation and you know, how to think about, you know, things from the people side of business.
That must be... It must have been fascinating learning all of that.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really
was. I wish
was.
I could go to school for a year and, like, everything.
I know. Yeah. Literally yeah. just download like, whatever
like,
I need.
Yes. I didn't even know that that was, like, a thing. Like, yeah. that is so cool. And what yeah. a valuable skill to have.
Absolutely.
That... Do you ever direct shows? Have
I
you?
I have never directed a show.
Do you
I
want
haven't.
To?
You know...
I'm like, you have a degree in that, basically.
I know. I Well, because I've spent so much of my musical/theater career doing performing and yeah. then also doing costuming and
yeah.
stuff
oh
like
my
that.
God. So, yeah. You're so
There's so many things that
talented.
I oh my
it's crazy.
God. I just like
and you
just,
also have the greatest hair.
Oh
I'm
my
obsessed
God.
With your hair.
Stop it.
I'm like
a little
I'm like,
crazy today.
No, I love it. I literally was like you were oh I washed mine today too, actually. But I was literally when you were on your way over here, I'm like, I'm gonna ask her hair care routine.
Oh.
But we will get to that.
Oh,
we will get
it took
to that.
Me, it took me 38, 39 years to figure that
I
one
feel
out.
Like
that's
I'm
a whole
just
that's a whole
figuring
journey.
It out. And even yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
curly
for sure.
hair. Curly
for sure.
hair.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. Curly girls unite.
Yes.
So I went back to school, got my master's, and then I started to realize. So I had been I was married at that point, and
oh, okay.
I, having gone through everything with losing my sister and my dad and COVID and just all of those
oh
formative
God.
Things and going back to school for my master's while working full time and,
oh
you know,
God.
Doing, you know, doing all the things, doing all the things.
Yep.
I realized at that point I had been with my ex-husband for 18 years.
Wow.
We met when I was 22. Right out of college.
Wow. Okay.
We got married in 2015. So
okay.
we were together for 10 years before we got married, 11
wow.
years before we got married. Yeah.
Can I ask, like, what made you, like, what, why was that wait so long? I mean, everybody's paths are different, but, like, was there conversation about marriage or just never came up or you were both like, no?
Yeah. No, it wasn't that. I think it was more, at least on my side,
yeah.
you know, certainly I wouldn't want to speak for him, but it was a situation where, you know, we met, I was brand new out of college.
Mm.
We were together for 2 years and then we moved up here. So I grew up
oh.
in the Elmira area, the,
oh,
you know, sort of
okay.
southern tier. And so we actually went to high school together. We didn't know each other.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh my
we,
God.
We knew a lot of the same people okay. And we grew up in the same area, but we never knew each other.
Wow.
So we met... literally when I was like a month home from college.
Wow.
And so we met in 2005.
Okay.
And then we moved up here and then 2008 happened. So there was the recession and the crash and I was just trying to get my feet under me and figure
oh
out
God.
What does my life look like,
yeah.
you know, as a baby 23-year-old.
Oh.
And oh my God, I was
such
was
a baby,
little baby
right?
me.
I know
oh my God. I don't even
about...
remember being that age. Like, who was I? I don't know.
I know.
Who was she?
Literally, who was she?
Who
That's
was
how
that
I feel
girl?
About 23-year-old me too. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
yeah
exactly. Yeah, a
it's
little
wild.
Cringe.
Yeah. A little, definitely a little cringe. Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, oh boy, if I knew things then that I know now, you know.
Yep. Yep.
And
oh my
so
God,
it just
yeah.
kind of got to the point where at that point, you know, we were living together. We had an apartment in Schenectady and you know, we just were kind of like, you know what, if we're going to get married, let's wait until we have the money and the ability to actually
yes.
like, do it.
Yes.
I had grown up never wanting kids. I just never really had that yearning.
Yeah.
I was technically the baby of six. My twin sister is 47 seconds older than me.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, I had 20-something nieces and nephews. Now I think I think we're up to like 26 now. Nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews.
God.
Yeah. So,
So, like, just kids around all the time.
Babies. Yeah. Like, there were plenty of babies, and I love it. Like, I have them, and they're great, and, you know, and then they go home.
Yes.
And, you know, and I love that. Like,
yes.
Please, you know, so I.
Please.
Please go home. I love you dearly. I love you when you're gone, too. I love the opportunity to miss you.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that was also not, you know, necessary, and not that we needed to be married to have children, but it was one less tick in the sort of general box of life that just, you know, if we're gonna do all this other stuff, you know, in a different way than usual, then let's just do all of it in a different way than usual.
Yeah, totally.
So we got married in 2015. It was lovely. Actually, some of my favorite memories are from the wedding.
Aww.
And especially because a lot, kind of ironically, the photos that we used in the obituaries for my sister and my dad were both from the wedding.
No way.
Yeah. So it was really an opportunity for me to also kind of celebrate my family and, you know, sort of bring that to the forefront. And so it was lovely. But as I started to age, and, you know, go through all of the things in, you know, the last couple of years before that had, I realized that it was more of a habit than a want to be in a relationship. And it was more of, there were things that we had never really seen eye to eye on.
Okay.
And I think having lost my sister and my dad and having gone through COVID, it really highlighted for me the things that I wanted and didn't want in my life.
Yes.
And
I feel like it's like those big traumatic losses and experiences make those things so clear.
Yes.
Make them so clear and make them like impossible to like brush off.
Move away from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and it
you're
it
like, oh, fuck, this is what's important.
Yeah, because not only, you know, we were talking about sort of putting the pin in things that, you know, to move away from, but those pins also really, you know, pinpoint, for lack of a better word, the things that really matter the most.
Yes.
And if you're not living those things or you're not, you know, it just, it kind of was like, I feel like it was time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that he felt the same way.
Yeah.
But I knew that he would probably never make that decision for himself.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And
it's interesting to know someone that well.
That well.
That you know them enough that you're like, he's not gonna make that decision.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. So it took a while, and there were some things that happened that kind of solidified for me that my decision was correct. And I certainly don't want to say anything, you know, untoward to him or anything like that. So maybe I'll tell you about all
we
that.
We can talk about it
offline.
Another time.
Yes. But there was actually a very poignant situation that happened where I actually met a stranger. And this woman, she was an older woman that I met. And
oh,
it was
God.
This... unbelievable. So you will definitely have chills when
I already
I tell
have
you
them
about
I already
this.
I'm like yes, I'm like buzzing.
I know.
Okay. Oh
I know.
God. Oh my God.
So I had gone over to the bike path. There was like the Mohawk Hudson bike path through the area, and which I love that area. I love to go out and run and just walk the path and so I was out there. It was in July of 23, and I was really struggling with making the decision. That's a big decision. 18 years with someone.
Yeah.
You know, literally everything that I had known as an adult was riding on that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I said it was a beautiful day. There wasn't a lot of people around because it was pretty hot, but I love hot weather. So I'm soaking up all the sun.
God.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love hot weather.
I hate hot weather. I'm hot and then I'm just miserable.
Oh,
I'm mad.
Fair.
I'm mad.
Yeah.
Because I run hot. I'm already hot.
Mm-hmm. See, I run cold. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when it's like 85, I'm like, give it up. Yeah. I want it all.
You love getting in that warm car probably. Yeah.
Yes.
You love that?
Yes. I want it to weirdo. Sizzle. I want it to sizzle on my skin.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. So I was emotional, and I basically just said out loud to the sky, to my sister and my dad, I just need you guys to give me a sign. And I'm thinking, like, you know,
a bird
or a butterfly or something weird to happen.
Yeah.
And along the bike path, there's these benches. And so I sat down on one of the benches, and I was upset. And this woman came by on her bike, and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just dealing with some things, and I'm a little emotional." And she gets off her bike, and I'm like, "Oh God, lady, just leave me alone."
Yeah.
You know, like And she sits down next to me, and so we're talking. And so I basically told her, you know, what was going on, and that I was considering separating from my ex-husband or from my husband at that point. And and she said, you know, this woman, she's in her 70s, I believe 60s, 70s. She said, you know, I just broke it off with my fiance of, I think she said 12 or 15 years recently.
Wow.
Because he had some alcohol problems and stuff like that. But that and so they had been engaged for all that time, but had never actually gotten married. And she said, wow. I realized that it was time.
Yep.
And so then I was, you know, went on to tell her about my sister and my dad and stuff like that. And she too had lost her sister to cancer. And
I'm gonna scream. I'm gonna freak out.
So she tells me that her sister's name was Elizabeth, which is my mom's name.
Oh my God.
And that her sister's daughter's name was Michelle, which was my sister's name.
Oh my God.
My sister who passed.
Yep.
And her name was Colleen, which is my twin sister's name.
No. Oh my God.
I'm sitting there. She's telling me these things, and I start
sobbing, crying, ugly crying.
I'm just like, I don't, even if all of this is 1,000% coincidence, I ask for a sign. Send me a cardinal or a
butterfly. Yeah, correct.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Have a little muskrat run across my path or something. No. My dad and my sister were literally beating me over the head.
This is what you get.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like,
Oh my God.
I would be stupid not to take this as the sign that I asked for.
Yep.
And even if it's not the sign, it allowed me to make the decision that I knew I needed to make, that I didn't necessarily want to make just because it was such a major upheaval in my life.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so that was very formative.
Oh my God.
And so that was the day before I separated from my ex-husband.
Wow.
And it was there was no animosity. It was fairly amicable.
Yeah.
It was just, we've outlived each other.
Yes.
And what we had, I was a very different person at 22. He was a very different person at 25. And recognizing that I didn't want to live in a situation where I would get to the age of my parents and be resentful and be miserable and be unhappy.
Yes, yes.
And to know the same for him.
Yes.
You know, and so it was, it made sense.
Yep.
You know, we've run the course.
Yep. I did hear someone say once, it wasn't an unsuccessful marriage, it was a successful divorce.
Absolutely.
And I loved that. And I
agree.
Like, yes.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, so I have, you know, always wished him well and, you know, wish the best for him and whatever comes for him. And so that was, so I actually graduated with my master's degree in, I finished it in, gosh, how did that work? I finished it in August or September of 23. So just a couple months after we separated.
Oh, wow.
And oh, yeah.
Holy shit. There are two people in this world that I know to be unbelievably fucking strong. And one of them is my cousin and my best friend. And I think the other one is you, because I'm just like, the two of you have been through more than any person I've ever known to have gone through in life ever. Like, I just am like, and you're such this like beautiful, light, lovely, supportive, like amazing person. And it's like, by all accounts, you have every right to be walking around like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck you. You know what I mean?
I was like that for a long time, though.
Understandable.
It's taken me a whole lot of therapy and Zen to get through. To get through all
I
of
thought
this.
When you started with Z, I thought you were going to say Xanax.
Well, Zoloft, really. Zoloft for the win.
The other one,
yeah. No, she, yeah. Zoli and I we're best friends.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Yeah. Oh my God. Therapy, Zen, and Zoloft. Like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, exactly.
The magic trio over here.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. So,
oh my God.
So then my my graduation from grad school, they don't do like a winter convocation, so you have to wait until May.
Okay.
So I went in May. I was actually doing a show at that point.
Oh my God, of course
SLOC.
You were. Okay, what
and
show?
So, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
With Justin?
Yes.
Was Justin in that show? Yes!
Oh my God.
I love him. Yeah.
Justin and Cody are just amazing people.
Yes.
And Justin actually has a really awesome podcast.
Oh my God,
too.
It's amazing. Two Bland Gays. I'm like, my dream is to like, there's no way that I could be on that podcast. But maybe I should have them on this podcast.
You 1000% should.
I would love that.
And also, I just
listen
to be
that
in
all
the
time.
Please just invite me.
Yes, you can come and hang out.
Yeah, I literally just want like a bucket of popcorn and a glass of wine, you know, in solidarity.
Oh my God.
You know,
I listen to them like, oh my God, I listened to that podcast religiously for a while.
Yes.
I actually passed because it's Justin and, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting? It is Cody.
Because
I haven't met Cody.
Oh.
So, but we were at CrossGates the other day. We were walking. Cody walks past me and I'm like, I'm literally staring at him because I'm like, why do I know him? And then I was like, that's the other Bland Gay. I was like, oh my God. But I was like, I felt so weird. Like the moment had passed, but he was like looking at me like noticing that
do
I was
I
like blatantly staring at him.
Oh my
you know
God.
What I mean?
Because
I was just
so
like,
funny.
Why can't I put together why I know you? Like literally watching him walk. And then I was like, oh my God. It took me like, he was already gone. And I was like, part of me was like, should I run up to him right now and be like, I'm a huge fan of your podcast.
Should I fangirl? Oh my God. Should I not?
Like, yeah. But I was like, I don't want to, like, I already creeped you out. I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that twice.
That was, that show was, oh my God, so much fun.
Yes.
And we actually so I was one of the narrators. We actually had four narrators for that.
Oh my God.
Which was really cool.
Very cool.
Like that. And we were all on stage for all of the numbers and we wrote harmonies for it.
Oh
and
my
it was just,
God.
It was
giving
a
like
lovely
situation. The muses and
absolutely. Yeah. And that it was a
that's
beautiful,
so cool.
Beautiful show. And so I literally, so we had a show that evening, that Saturday night that I had, convocation. I had graduation out in Hamden, Connecticut.
Oh my God.
Or Carmel, I guess at Hamden, I think it is. And so, my twin sister had come for the show and then also to go with me to graduation. Mm. So I was actually singing the national anthem for graduation. So
oh
I'm like,
God.
I said to Suzanne Rayom, who was the director.
Yeah.
I said, listen, Saturday morning, I'm going to be getting in my car and I'm going to be driving 3.5 hours
Holy
to Connecticut
shit.
To go to graduation. And then I'm going to get back in the car and drive 3.5 hours back and I will be here for this show.
Yeah.
So don't panic, but this is what's happening.
Yes.
And it went off without a hitch. It was
wonderful.
Oh my
God, that's amazing.
And so my mom at that point had had some health issues. She was 89.
Okay. Was this just kind of like post-COVID too?
A little bit, yeah. And just, oh my God, she'd been through so much. Yeah, you know, she lost a daughter. She lost her husband. You know, dealing with all of my BS from my... you know, because mothers, they intuit all of this. They take it all on. And she had a hard life, you know, and she was a warrior. And any bit of strength that I have is due to my mom. Mm. 1,000%. Like, it is.
Yeah.
And so that was in March of 23. March of 24.
Okay.
The next show that I did immediately was, again, with Justin and Cody.
Oh, my God.
At Colonial Little Theater. We did Head Over Heels.
Oh, my God.
So,
no way.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. So I was Queen Gynesha, which was just an amazing, amazing experience. And
I did Spelling Bee out there.
Oh, my God.
And I, like, loved it. I loved it.
Oh, my.
That was the last show I've done.
Yeah. Is it really? Yeah. Actually, Head Over Heels was the last one I've done.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was like, I came back after college and I was like, I have had a very strained relationship with musical theater since graduating.
Sure.
Like, it's just been, I've very much been like, and Jeff Hawking, something happened with the cast, and Jeff Hawking was like, will you do this? And I was like, and I sat with it for like a few days and I was like, I don't know, man. And then he was like, I would just like love to have you. You would be a great addition to this cast, yada, yada. Sure. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then I was like, it was like such a healing experience for me. It was like the whole cast, everyone was amazing. I look back on that whole time with such fond memories. Like, and it was just like, it was, I think, just what I needed.
Absolutely.
Like at the time, you know,
you sing that I Love You song and you get those harmonies in there.
Oh my God. It's so,
I know
so
exactly. I know exactly so the role
good.
You played.
Yeah.
I know
oh exactly. yeah. That's so funny. I loved her so much.
Oh my God. It's
I loved it. Yeah.
Like so much heart in that show.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
What
it's
a
amazing.
Romp, but also like so much heart.
Oh my God. That's the beautiful thing about it is it takes you on those, like you're equally laughing and you're equally crying. And it's like, that's a perfect show to me.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what Head Over Heels is, you know, it's all music by the Go-Go's. So it's like, everybody knows the music for the most part. And it's a crazy storyline.
It is crazy.
The dialogue is insane. It's all like weird, like old English dialogue, but not really.
Yes.
And you know, but really, and really high highs and really low lows in that show. But just a wonderful, beautiful show and experience in general. And so Justin was the director.
Oh my God.
So it was and Cody was in it. And
oh my
God.
I didn't know that Cody also performed.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I actually have known Cody longer than I've known Justin.
No way.
Yeah, I met Cody years ago. In theater, in musical theater. So he gives the best bear hugs, by the way.
Oh
my God, the best.
What
bear
a great
hugs.
Thing to say about someone.
And I tell him that every time I see him, you know, because he's just that kind of person. Like he's just so lovely. And, So then a couple 2 months after, maybe like a month and a half after the end of Head Over Heels, I was going in for thyroid surgery. I had a nodule on my thyroid.
Oh my God. So scary.
So I was a little bit, I was more than a little bit. I was nervous because, you know, one of the things that can happen is vocal paralysis. Vocal,
that's what I was thinking.
You know, if they hit a nerve or whatever. So, but I had this tumor thing on my thyroid, non-cancerous. I'd had it biopsied and everything. But it was growing kind of at alarming rates.
Whoa.
His name was Stanley Zvornak.
Stop.
He was. I'm not kidding. That was Stan, my goiter.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah.
Goodbye, so, Stan.
Exactly. It's like.
See you never.
You're officially. You're kicked out.
Yep.
And so on Stanley eviction day. I went in, I had the surgeon that I saw was wonderful, and it was basically all he did was thyroid surgeries.
Oh, that's amazing.
So he was a specialist, but he was right at Albany Med, so it was very quick, very
that's
easy.
Great.
So my sister was with me for that, and my mom had been pretty sick. And so I'm in the OR prep area waiting to go in for surgery.
Oh my God.
And
don't even tell me.
My mom calls my sister and she says, that she was really weak and couldn't. Needed to go to the hospital. And so my twin sister is standing in the OR prep room with me. And also calling 911 3 hours away from my mom.
Oh my God.
To be able to get her to the hospital.
Oh my God.
And I remember the surgeon came in and he had this look on his face and he was like, what's happening? And so I told him, and he said, you know, do you want to cancel the surgery? Do you want to not do this? And I said, no, you know what? We're here.
Yeah.
My sister's got it handled. You know, we've been down this road before as far as hospitalizations and stuff like that. So I went on with the surgery. And I don't remember this, but apparently I was when I got out of surgery. Because I was so worried about them paralyzing my vocal cords. God. I was actually, I was literally singing in post-op.
Yes.
I don't remember it, but apparently I was singing in post-op.
Oh my God. They probably loved it.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. I mean, this is how I am on a normal day. Can you imagine me on like, you know, general anesthesia? I can't even.
Oh my God.
Like, I would have been done with myself.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, so got through the surgery, everything was fine. And so that was in September of 24. And so I think 2 days after the surgery, my sister and I decided that we needed to go back home.
Okay.
With my mom. And so she was in the hospital, and much against our wishes, they sent her home. So they had, at that point, they had diagnosed her with lung cancer.
Oh my God.
And they decided to send her home.
This is such a thing I have so much beef with.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to just start like burning buildings down. Like,
yep. I don't know. I get it. They don't have enough beds and everyone is overworked. Like, I get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're sending people home too early all the time. All the time.
I agree. Yep. And just because my mom was able to walk in a 10-foot wide, perfectly flat hallway with a walker doesn't mean
this is my mom too.
That she's going to be able, especially because my dad was gone.
Yep.
You know, and I live 3 hours away here, and my sister lived 3 hours away in Watertown, and then my mom is back in the Elmira area in the Southern Tier. So it was like, how do we do this? You know, and my sister has children and has a job, and I, you know, have a job up here and a house and, you know, all of that. So, so it was very difficult, and, but we made it work for a while.
Yeah.
And I think she was home for 2 weeks and then she went back into the hospital, and she, as they do, rallied for a couple of days. And it was Saturday, October 19th. And she told us that morning. She had been on really, really heavy oxygen.
Wow.
Like the heaviest they could get without intubating her. And she said, I don't want this anymore. I want to be done.
Mm.
And I don't think I realized it at that point, kind of what was happening. You get into this routine of, okay, we're going to do this. And then the next thing is the doctor's going to come in and we got to figure out lunch. And then we got to get prescriptions and we got to do all these things. And you're doing this whole thing. And I remember one of the nurse aides on the floor, after my mom had decided that she didn't want any more medication, gave us these little tiny vials. Not really vials, little tiny bottles with like a cork stopper in it. And it had a printout of my mom's EKG. This tiny little piece of paper with her EKG.
Oh my God.
And she brought them into us, and I, it was so touching.
Oh my God.
And at that point we were, they were getting ready to move her out of ICU and into a step down ICU, because at that point she wasn't, she had made the decision, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So I remember they wheeled her out and down the hallway to the step down unit, and at 3 o'clock, I told her how much I loved her and how proud I was to be her daughter. Ugh. And how proud I was of her. And she was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that really puts a button on the whole thing.
Sorry. Oh, wow. God. I brought that right down, didn't I?
No.
Wow.
No,
I have best. I have the best way of like bringing you up here. Literally. And same. Then literally like knocking your knees out from under you.
No, like literally same. And I'm like, oh, remember this when this happened? Oh.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. No, no, no. I'm okay. So, oh, okay. First of all, thank you so much for just like sharing that whole story. I feel like your life could be a dramatic comedy. It's, is what it feels
to me. It has to be comedy.
And it needs to be like a series. Like a, it's not a movie. I was going to say movie, but it's not. It's like a limited series, because we need longer than a movie. We need to see you go through all this. So that, and I also understand like what it is to sit and talk about like each fucking major traumatic experience and how hard that is.
And just like
having to like bring it all back up again and like talk about it is very difficult. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you for listening. I didn't realize you're like Oprah. This is, I feel like this is like a my
I wish. Oh my God.
Like, oh my God. Of course I was going to cry. Oprah.
I know. It's Oprah. Of course I was going to cry. You were going to talk about your mom. Like,
you know, but I will say though that one of my favorite lines from any show is from Steel Magnolias.
Oh.
And it's laughter through tears is my favorite emotion.
Ugh.
And it really is true, because you can't truly laugh until you know what it's like to not have that in your, you know, to not have that joy and not have a reason to laugh.
I do.
You can't truly appreciate it.
It's so true. I think about this all the time. This is such a silly, funny way to like compute that, but I think about how in Harry Potter he like the reason he can cast such an amazing Patronus, like this thing that brings like joy and keeps the darkness away, is because he's known such tragedy, right? So like he has that like ability that his is stronger than anyone else's because he's known true loss. Mm-hmm. And like, and my cousin and I, we like, our family has been through so much shit.
I know. We've talked about some of it.
Yeah. But it's fucking crazy. And this is the exact thing is it's like we get together and we're just like crying, but then in equal force we're like laughing, because it's like,
absolutely,
we always say like, what else are you, how else are we gonna get through this? Like, you either like have to laugh about it in some way, or you're just gonna like fall off the deep end and like never be able to return. And
I
like
totally
you have
agree.
To have those people who like you feel safe with to do that with. And it's just like so funny, because I feel like right after we have this very deep conversation, we both start like giggling and laughing and crying. And I'm like, not everyone understands that.
Because
sometimes I'll like talk about something with someone and then they're like, oh my God. And then I'm just like, yeah, but like, here we are,
here
you know?
Are.
And then they're like, and I'm like, it's like some people who like haven't experienced that don't even know what to do with you and your emotions,
absolutely,
you know, like when they're that big. And I'm like what I wouldn't give to not know how to deal with this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
But also like, how lucky are we that we have the opportunity to love so hard
so much.
that you can lose so hard.
Yes.
You know, like you, what you experience in the good times and in the bad times is all relative to how much you love and how much you know, put into life. You get,
yeah,
you get out what you put in, and you know, and you, it's like riding a roller coaster. You can't go high without going low first.
Yeah.
You know, like you got to start somewhere.
Yep.
And you know, to really be able to experience all of that, I think is like, we should all be so lucky.
Yeah.
To be able to experience that.
Cause I feel, you know, like it's like a, like, what else are we here for? Exactly. I guess, exactly. You know, like, it's, yeah, like, I hate to say it that way, but it's just like, it's like, if I'm not feeling all of these emotions, like, I truly, like, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Like, if I'm not here to experience all of these things at their fullest, then like, what am I here for?
Exactly.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's one part of it. And then the other part of it has been like, because I feel like I've been just like, with all this like health stuff I've been dealing with, I've been home a lot because, yeah, it's really hard for me to like get out and have the energy to leave the house and, sure, like go and do a thing and come back and feel like I can still like make myself dinner or something if I like, if JP isn't home or something, and I'm like, mm-hmm, okay, I need to like allot how much energy I'm putting out on these days because I need to make sure like I can do all the things that I have to do to survive. Mm-hmm. So like I can't go out to that thing tonight or whatever it is. So I've been spending a lot of time at home and I'm like doing a lot of dishes and doing a lot of laundry and like those kinds of things that I can do that are like, sure, relatively, I can stand up and do them and feel okay and not completely waste my energy. And so I've just been listening to a lot of like audiobooks while, yeah, I do that.
Love
and I'm
audiobooks.
Me too. I'm, yes, a fucking audiobook whore. I'm just, it's disgusting, yes, how much I like,
do the same thing.
Oh my God. I like love it. I love it.
Do you have favorite audiobook narrators?
Okay, so I'm terrible because I don't know anyone's name except Jacob Morgan, right? Okay. Isn't that his name?
I don't know.
I listen to a lot of romance. Talking to normal people.